ready to ditch the tourist traps and say ciao to the real Tuscany.
I think we've got just the thing for that.
I was just about to say, today we are diving into 14 amazing days in Italy, Tuscany.
This guide is jam-packed with tips and tricks on how to experience Italy like a local.
Yeah.
And more importantly, how to avoid those massive tourist crowds.
You had me at avoid the crowds, but let's be real. When you think of Italy, you think of Rome.
Of course, Rome, the Trevi Fountain, the Colosseum, amazing historical site.
All that history.
But this guide kicks things off a little differently.
They want us to skip Rome. What?
Not skip, more like strategically pass through.
Okay, so no lingering in Rome on day one.
Nope. Day one is all about heading straight to our home base, Arezzo.
Arezzo, okay. So what's the strategy here? Why the rush to Arezzo?
Well, the guide recommends getting there before 8 p.m., ideally before 5 p.m., and honestly, that makes a lot of sense.
Why?
Think about it. You've just landed. You're probably a little jet-lagged.
Yeah, I feel that.
So instead of rushing to sightsee, you get to check into your hotel, unpack, maybe grab a bite to eat, and ease into that Italian pace of life.
Okay, I'm starting to see the appeal. I could definitely go for a leisurely Italian dinner after a long flight. But hold on, how are we getting from Rome to Arezzo? Is there a special Tuscany Express train we need to catch?
I wish, but no, you've actually got a few options. You can take the intercity, the regional RV, the standard regional trains, or if you're feeling fancy.
Hit me with the fancy option.
The Frecciarossa.
The what?
The Frecciarossa, it's basically Italy's version of a bullet train. Super fast, super smooth.
Okay, like the Shinkansen in Japan.
Exactly.
Sign me up for the fast train.
But before we speed off to Arezzo, let's talk tickets. Should we embrace our inner planner and book online or just wing it at the station?
The guide, and I agree with this, says booking online at Trenitalia.com is the way to go.
Makes sense. Avoid the lines, secure your spot, all that good stuff.
Exactly. But there's a little caveat if you're feeling spontaneous and decide to buy tickets at the station.
Do tell.
There's always a catch, isn't there?
Nothing major, but if you buy from a kiosk or a newsagent, make sure you validate your ticket before hopping on the train.
Validate? You mean like those little machines they have on the platform?
Yeah, those ones. It's easy to forget, especially when you're caught up in the excitement of traveling.
I can see that happening.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing forgetting is not a risk you want to take.
Let's just say those fines for unvalidated tickets are not souvenirs you want to bring home.
Noted. Okay, tickets checked. We're about to board our train to Arezzo. Should we splurge on first class or save our euros for those delicious pizzas we'll be devouring later?
Now, this is where the guide gets really specific and I love it. They say if you're on most trains, like the inner city or the regional ones, go for premium class if you can.
Premium class, is that like their version of first class?
It is, and it's usually not that much more expensive. You get a bit more space, comfy seats, and most importantly, it tends to be less crowded.
Okay, less crowded sounds good to me. I'm all about that extra legroom, especially after a long flight. But what about the Frecciarossa, our fancy bullet train? Should we be living it up in premium class on that too?
Here's a curveball. The guide actually recommends against it for the Frecciarossa.
Really? Why is that?
Apparently, even the regular seats on those high-speed trains are pretty swanky, so unless you're desperate for extra legroom or some serious peace and quiet, it's not really worth the extra cost.
Interesting. I'm all about saving money where I can, especially when traveling. Okay, so we arrive in Arezzo feeling relaxed and refreshed after our scenic train journey. Now, big question, how are we getting around Tuscany? Are we renting a car and channeling our inner Italian drivers, or embracing public transport?
Honestly, both options have their merits.
Lay it on me.
If you're all about exploring those hidden gems, those off-the-beaten-path villages and vineyards, then renting a car is a game-changer.
I can imagine. Winding through those Tuscan hills, the wind in our hair, it sounds idyllic.
Right, and having a car gives you so much freedom and flexibility.
No relying on bus schedules or train times.
Exactly. Plus, the guide points out that a smaller car is ideal for those narrow, winding roads you'll encounter in the countryside. Just a heads up, though, Italian roads do have tolls, so factor those into your budget.
Tolls, right, I'll make a note of that.
But hey, if navigating foreign roads while trying to decipher Italian road signs isn't your idea of a relaxing vacation, no worries. Arezzo has a pretty decent public transportation system.
Okay, that's good to know. So buses and trains, we're covered.
Yep. You can easily catch a train from Piazza della Repubblica, and there are bus stops near the train station and throughout the city.
Perfect. Speaking of Arezzo, I'm curious about where we'll be resting our heads after our travels. What kind of accommodation options are we looking at? Should we picture ourselves in a charming Tuscan villa?
Maybe, but the guide really emphasizes the charm of staying within the Centro Storico.
Centro Storico. Sorry, I'm not up on my Italian.
No worries. It's basically the historic center of Arezzo. Picture cobblestone streets, cozy piazzas, ancient buildings. It's like stepping back in time.
Okay, I'm getting those Beauty and the Beast vibes. Sign me up.
Right. It's all about that immersive experience.
Sounds incredible. But I'm guessing those charming historic accommodations are in high demand.
You know it. Especially during peak season.
So what's the play? Do we need to be booking months in advance?
Booking in advance is definitely key, especially if you have your heart set on a specific place. But the guide also suggests considering an agriturismo.
Agri-whatto. Now you're just making up words.
I promise it's a real thing, and it's amazing.
Okay, you've piqued my curiosity. What is an agriturismo?
It's basically a farm stay. Imagine waking up to rolling hills, vineyards as far as the eye can see, the smell of fresh bread baking in the oven.
Okay, that sounds pretty magical. Like a true escape from the hustle and bustle.
Exactly. It's a chance to experience the slower pace of life that Tuscany is known for.
I love that idea. So, we could either immerse ourselves in the heart of Arezzo's historic center or escape to a tranquil farm stay. Decisions.
Why not both?
What do you mean?
You could split your time in Arezzo, maybe spend a few nights in a peaceful agriturismo to unwind and acclimate after your travels, and then head into the mart of the city for a more immersive cultural experience.
I like the way you think, the best of both worlds. Okay, we've settled into our charming accommodation, whether it's a cozy farm stay or a historic hideaway in the heart of Arezzo. What's next on the agenda? What hidden treasures await us in this Tuscan town?
Well, for starters, Arezzo has its fair share of historical must-sees. The Roman amphitheater, for example.
Okay, Roman amphitheater. Take me back to ancient times.
Picture this gladiatorial contests, public spectacles, a bustling hub of activity. It dates back to the first century AD, just imagine.
Wow, that's a serious blast from the past. Is the whole amphitheater still intact?
Sadly, no. Only a portion of it remains, but it's still an incredible sight to see. And it's amazing to just stand there and imagine what it must have been like back then.
I can only imagine. It's like stepping right into a history book.
Yeah.
So, from gladiators to, what's next on our Arezzo adventure?
Well, you can't miss the Cathedral of Arezzo. It's stunning. The architecture, the stained glass windows, the artwork by renowned artists like Vasari and Della Robbia, it's all very impressive.
You've definitely piqued my interest. Cathedrals aren't usually my thing, but you make it sound incredible. What about something a little more, I don't know, hands-on? Are there any places where we can really dig into the past? Maybe see some ancient artifacts.
You're speaking my language. You've got to check out the Museo Archeologico Nazionale. They've got an incredible collection of Etruscan and Roman artifacts.
Etruscan? Okay, you're going to have to refresh my memory on that one. I'm a little rusty on my ancient history.
No worries. The Etruscans were a civilization that existed in ancient Italy before the rise of the Roman Empire.
Right, of course. It's all coming back to me now. So this museum is like a window into the lives of the people who lived in this region centuries ago.
Exactly. You'll see pottery, jewelry, sculptures, everyday objects. It really gives you a tangible connection to the past.
I'm all about those tangible connections. So we've explored ancient history. We've marveled at stunning architecture. What's next?
Well, if you're up for a bit of a treasure hunt, Arezzo is known for its fantastic antiques market. It's held on the first weekend of every month, and it draws dealers and collectors from all over Italy and beyond. You can find anything and everything there, from vintage furniture and jewelry to old books and quirky trinkets.
Okay, I'm sold. I love a good flea market find. I bet there are some stories hidden among those treasures. It's like each item has a past life just waiting to be discovered.
Exactly. It's a unique and lively experience, especially if you're there on a Saturday morning when it's buzzing with locals and tourists alike. But if you're not a fan of crowds, maybe try going on Sunday when it's a little quieter.
Good tip. I'm all about maximizing those local experiences while avoiding the peak crowds. So we've wandered through history, admired art, haggled for treasures at the market. Have we officially conquered Arezzo?
Almost. You can't visit Tuscany without experiencing the breathtaking countryside. And Arezzo is the perfect starting point for a day trip.
Okay, paint me a picture. What does a Tuscan day trip look like?
Picture rolling hills, vineyards stretching as far as the eye can see, olive groves, charming villages that seem frozen in time. It's pure magic.
It sounds absolutely idyllic.
It really is. And the best part is, you can explore at your own pace. Stop for a wine tasting, have a leisurely lunch at a family-run trattoria, soak up those incredible views.
I can already feel the Tuscan sun on my skin.
And don't forget to indulge in the local cuisine. Arezzo is known for its incredible food and wine. Make sure to try their ribollita.
Ribollita? What's that?
Oh, it's this hearty bread and vegetable soup. So simple, but so delicious. It's a Tuscan staple, especially in the cooler months.
Okay, ribollita noted. And of course, no trip to Italy is complete without pizza. I'm assuming Arezzo has that covered.
Oh, absolutely. And pasta and incredible cheeses. And let's not forget the wine. Make sure to try a glass or two of Chianti Classico. It's a local specialty.
A glass or two? Who am I to argue with tradition?
Exactly. Now, before we leave Arezzo behind, there's just one more thing I wanted to mention. The guide brings up pickpockets.
Oh, right. Pickpockets. Not exactly the kind of souvenir you want to bring home from Italy?
Definitely not. He says they're particularly skilled, like magicians almost, and they often target tourists in crowded areas. So just be mindful of your belongings, especially when you're in those tourist hotspots.
Good advice. Better safe than sorry. So Arezzo sounds amazing. History, culture, scenery, food. But I'm ready to explore more of what Tuscany has to offer. What's our next stop?
Get ready for a wine lover's paradise. We're headed to Montepulciano.
Montepulciano, I like the sound of that.
It's known for its incredible Vino Nobile di Montepulciano wine. This charming hilltop town is a must visit for any wine enthusiast.
A hilltop town known for its wine. Sign me up.
I thought you might like that. The guide recommends getting there early, around 9 a.m. to beat the crowds.
Smart. I'm all about maximizing those early morning hours before the crowds descend. So we're up early, sipping on some delicious Vino Nobile. What else should we be sure to check out in Montepulciano?
Well, I highly recommend taking some time to explore the local Enoteca.
Enoteca, okay. I'm sensing a theme here, but what exactly is an Enoteca?
It's basically a wine shop, but not your average liquor store. They specialize in local wines, and often they have these amazing underground cellars where they age the wine.
Oh, wow. I can just imagine those cool, dark cellars, the smell of oak barrels. Maybe a sneaky sip straight from the source.
Exactly. It's a really cool way to learn about the winemaking process and sample some incredible wines.
Count me in. So we've explored the Enoteca, stocked up on a few bottles of Vino Nobile to take home. Now what?
Well, from Montepulciano, we're off to another charming town famous for its wine, Montalcino.
Okay, we're really leaning into the whole wine lover's paradise thing, aren't we?
Hey, when in Tuscany, right.
Touché. So tell me more about Montalcino. What makes their wine so special?
Montalcino is the birthplace of Brunello di Montalcino.
Say that three times fast.
I know, right? It's a bit of a mouthful, but trust me, it's worth it. Brunello di Montalcino is considered one of Italy's finest wines. It's made from 100% Sangiovese grapes and aged for a minimum of 5 years, two of which must be in oak barrels.
5 years. We're talking about some patient winemaking here. Wow. So besides sipping on this prestigious Brunello, what else awaits us in Montalcino?
Well, like Montepulciano, Montalcino is a picturesque hilltop town. It offers breathtaking views of the Tuscan countryside and has a really lovely laid-back atmosphere.
Okay, you had me at Hilltop Town. Sounds like the perfect place to soak up those Tuscan vibes.
Exactly. But one thing to note, the public transportation in the area is a bit limited, so you might want to consider renting a car or budgeting for a few taxis to get around.
Good to know.
But hey, a little inconvenience is a small price to pay for experiencing those stunning views and sipping on some world-class wine.
Couldn't agree more. So, after soaking up the charm of Montalcino, where does this Tuscan adventure lead us next?
From the vineyards of Montalcino, we're heading to the coast. Falonica is calling our names.
Falonica? Okay. I'm hearing beaches, seafood, relaxation.
Yeah.
Am I on the right track?
You know it. Falonica is a popular seaside town known for its beautiful beaches, lively atmosphere, and of course, delicious seafood.
I can't wait to dig into a big plate of fresh pasta, clams, maybe a little lobster.
Sounds like a plan, but Falonica is actually just a stepping stone to an even more incredible destination, Elba Island.
Elba Island. Okay, you're really speaking my language now. I love an unexpected island adventure.
I thought you might. Get ready for a perfect blend of natural beauty, historical intrigue, and pure relaxation. Elba really does have it all. Think pristine beaches, crystal clear waters, rugged mountains, lush forests, and charming villages.
Sounds too good to be true. I'm already picturing myself sipping on a limoncello watching the sunset over the Mediterranean.
You'll be in heaven. And if you're feeling adventurous, you can explore the island's many hiking trails, go kayaking or paddleboarding, or even try your hand at windsurfing.
This is all sounding a little too active for my liking. Where are the best places to just relax, soak up the sun, and take a dip in that crystal clear water you were talking about?
Oh, Elba's got you covered. For those postcard-worthy beaches, you've got to check out Spiaggia di Sansone and Cavoli Beach.
Okay, adding those to the list. Are they easy to get to?
Definitely. You can rent a car, hop on a bus, or even take a boat trip to some of the more secluded coves. It's up to you.
I'm all about those secluded coves.
Yeah.
So we've got beaches covered. But you mentioned something about historical intrigue. Now that's a phrase that always piques my interest.
Get this. Elba Island was once home to Napoleon Bonaparte.
Napoleon, as in the Napoleon. The French Emperor, Napoleon.
The one and only. He was exiled to Elba in 1814 and spent about 10 months on the island.
Wow, I had no idea. Exile on a beautiful island, that's not exactly a punishment, is it?
Right. Although, I guess when you're used to ruling an empire, being confined to an island, even a beautiful one, might feel a bit stifling. But hey, he made the most of it. He implemented several reforms, improved the island's infrastructure, and even had time for a little romance.
I'm all ears. Tell me more about Napoleon's island adventures.
Well, while you're on Elba, you can actually visit several sites connected to his exile, including his residences, Villa San Martino and the Palazzina dei Mulini. And there's even a spot called Napoleon's Chair, a rock formation from where he supposedly gazed out at the sea, longing for France.
Wow, that's incredible. It's amazing to think that we're walking in the footsteps of history like that. Okay, this is officially going on the itinerary. Napoleon's Elba, here we come.
Oh.
Okay, you've totally sold me on this island exile thing. Napoleon was onto something. But before we get too caught up in the history, back to those hidden gems in Rome. What else does this guide unearth?
Well, for food lovers, he raves about the Testaccio neighborhood.
Testaccio, right? What's so special about it?
It's a real foodie haven, known for its traditional Roman cuisine. We're talking recipes passed down through generations, simple dishes, fresh ingredients, bursting with flavor.
You're speaking my language. Give me all the pasta, all the cheese, all the local wine.
That's the spirit.
Yeah.
The kind of place where you can sit back, relax, savor each bite, and just soak up that authentic Roman atmosphere.
Sounds like my kind of place.
Yeah.
All right, so we've had our fill of delicious food in Testaccio. Now what?
The guide throws in another curveball. He suggests checking out the Galleria Spada.
Galleria Spada, doesn't ring a bell. What's the draw?
Get that it's home to this incredible optical illusion.
An optical illusion. Now you're really talking my language.
Yeah.
I love a good mind-bending experience. What is it, some kind of Escher-esque staircase?
Not exactly, but just as impressive. It's actually a masterpiece of perspective by the 17th century architect, Francesco Borromini. He basically manipulated space and perspective to create the illusion of a much longer gallery than it actually is.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. I'm adding that to the list. Art the place with your perceptions. That's always a win in my book. Okay, what else? I'm ready for more.
All right, how about a day trip to Ostia Antica?
Ostia Antica. I've got to admit, you've got me saying, what is that? A lot this episode.
Well, get ready to be amazed. Ostia Antica was this ancient Roman port city.
Okay, and what's so special about it?
It's incredibly well preserved. Like stepping back in time, you can wander through the ruins of ancient shops, houses. They've even got the remains of a theater.
Wow, that's incredible. It's like Pompeii, but without the volcanic ash.
Exactly.
Okay, Ostia Antica it is. Added to the ever-growing list.
No, we can't forget about the Vatican City, can we?
Of course not. But those crowds can be a bit overwhelming, especially if you're trying to appreciate the art and architecture. Any tips on how to navigate that?
The guide suggests a clever strategy. Visit the Vatican Museums right before closing time.
Right before closing. But won't they kick us out?
They will, but that's the point. While everyone else is leaving, you'll have a much more peaceful experience.
Ah, I see. Less crowds, more serenity. So, to wrap things up, when it comes to tackling those iconic Roman sites, it's all about a combination of pre-planning with those pre-booked tickets and strategic timing.
Exactly. A little bit of planning can go a long way in ensuring a smoother and more enjoyable experience, especially in a city as popular as Rome.
Well, this deep dive has been incredible. It's really changed my perspective on travel planning. I'm all about finding those hidden gems, those authentic experiences, those moments that take you by surprise.
Me too. And this guide has given us a treasure trove of those.
It really has. So for those listening who are ready to pack their bags and say ciao to Italy, what's the one piece of advice we can leave them with?
Don't be afraid to embrace the unexpected. Let go of the rigid itinerary. Wander a bit and see where the path leads you.
I love that. Sometimes the best travel experiences are the ones you don't plan for.
Exactly. Be open to new experiences, connect with the locals, savor the food and wine, and most importantly, enjoy the journey.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's all.
As a listener or a viewer, you can now get an instantly downloadable copy of any of the immersive Italian travel guidebooks at 50% off the normal price at theinnersecrets.com. Look for the menu item on the homepage, Viewers and Listeners Shop. Thank you for listening today.